We're having a little man love in here. Paul walked into the studio and the sun came out. And this is not a lie. This is the truth.
The rainbow is going to come at the end of the show. That's
the humidity is 96%. The wind speed's calm. The barometer is 30.06. Dew point 65%. Visibility 6 miles. So what's up?
Well, it's a very busy week. We're in the middle of the month. There's lots of meetings going on. On the county level, there's a lot of activity both in Greene and here in Columbia County. It's back to business time. We got through the holidays. The next big holiday is about a month and a half away.
Yep.
And, the air conditioning's working, and so is everybody else. Although I'm hearing a lot of, we're reaching an age where you don't hear about it often. You don't hear about it in the regular news, but you hear about it in the scuttlebutt that, so-and-so's office network has gone down, or, the internet was out all day in these business offices. And you just don't hear about that on the news, but this is becoming a fact of life, and it's going to be interesting to see how we all deal with it over the coming years. Especially when it's one thing in the winter when we expect storms, et cetera, but it's the most disastrous problems of these sorts always happen in the summer. It was actually, 35 years ago last week that the giant power outage in New York happened. And then
I remember it well.
And then I remember, what was it, 2002, 2003, where there was a huge outage. And my wife and I were driving back from Cooperstown. We thought, man, it's so dark out here. And there's nothing on the radio. There's nothing on the radio. And, it turns out it was a series of brownouts that led to a regional blackout.
That was the 2002 one. I remember I was in the Kingdom of Brooklyn at that time.
And there's a lot of, there's been a lot of work during the interim on our grid. I mean, that's where this whole idea of these power lines coming down under the Hudson and kind of going up on the bank in Greene County and a bit on the bank down in Dutchess County.
But I see lots of yellow and black protest signs because I'm a lawn sign observer.
Yeah.
So it seems to be some people against that.
Yeah, it's starting to gain. I mean, it may be a little too late at this point. But there's also, that's actually, I think, referring to the there's an east-west power line that's also coming in.
Okay.
That's referring to that, which is still in the review process. But you're going to see a lot of that as they start to send power lines across the region in different ways and looking for different ways of building up power sources. And besides the large plants, and if you recall just a year and a half ago when our new congressman came in with the class of 2010, the big push was towards nuclear power. The first thing was, let's restore nuclear power into the Hudson Valley. And woof, that disappeared really fast. Shut the door on that. There was a little problem in Japan. And
that's it. That's all it took.
A lot of people reminded everyone that, we tried this back in the 70s and it didn't work. And, it was removed. So now the shining light at the end of the tunnel tends to be up, all that power that Quebec brought in the late 80s, early 90s when they tamed James Bay. And that there was a lot of protests against that down here amongst environmentalists. And now there's a huge hydroelectric source up there. So there's a kind of a constant flow of electricity that can come down from Canada. The big thing behind all of this electrical grid discussion, though, is how well we can get along. The test is going to be, can we share services, as one has to do with electricity and a number of other things like that. And as we'll see when we start going through the news today, we seem to be in a period where we're balkanizing to a certain extent. People just don't want to get along that well.
Have you noticed that?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Starting in, just I got a long list of things here, and it's just kind of culled from a number of different sources, and a lot of it's you know, just touching on things that are covered on the WGXC newsroom, which is really picking up in a very nice way these days. But you know, I drove by, you know, coming into town, drove by the boat club. How do you pronounce it? Is it Fergari?
I sat here all last week and relied on Lynn to pronounce it for me, because I every time I said it differently.
And do you remember how she pronounced
no.
it?
No.
Okay.
We'll have to call her in.
Well, okay. The boat club.
The boat club.
Doesn't look any different from it did the way it did last week. There was news reported on the GXC newsroom that there was a possibility that two of the shacks there were actually on land owned by the town of Greenport, or that was in the town of Greenport. Carol Osterink, on her Gossips of Rivertown, reports that the Hudson Department of Public Works Superintendent Rob Perry says that no, those two northernmost shacks are definitely not in Greenport. They're not only within the 14.49 acres conveyed to the city of Hudson, you know, where the boat club is, they're at least 2,000 feet from the town of Greenport line. So, that whole idea seems to be slipping away, although it seems there's enough people talking about all of this that you'll have something that'll remind everybody of the boat club in the future.
Yes, yeah.
You know, the at this point, with it kind of wrapped in black hurricane fencing, it looks of a piece with the rest of the whole neighborhood down there. Before, the boat club was this kind of active light down there. It was one of the more active places on the waterfront.
But it's pretty much a done deal now, right? The whole thing?
I think so, although there seems to be a lot of, you know, background stuff going on. So I'm sure somebody's going to want to do something at least symbolic, just so that everybody can save face in the end. And, you know, I doubt it'll just all be bulldozed overnight suddenly and disappear, but I could be proved wrong. But I suspect there'll be some kind of token action taken, you know, of a symbolic level, so that everybody has something they can hold on to from it to feel proud of. You know, the other story that was interesting last week and reported on the newsroom as well was came out of the Daily Mail originally, that three local supermarkets, all the old Grand Unions in Greene County, which there was one in Coxsackie, one in Tannersville, and then Bryant's in Greenville, turns out, was owned by Grand Union as well. Well, they're all being taken over by a chain, Tops Friendly Markets, which is out of Williamsville in Erie County, out operates basically in central New York, western New York, and northwestern Pennsylvania. What's kind of fascinating about that is when these regional brands come into an area and split it up, it changes the nature of how outsiders look at the area. I know, you know, I spend some time going into central Massachusetts, and suddenly you go from Stop and Shops to Big Y's, and it's like, I always say, you know, I always have a big Y as to why it's suddenly Big Y country. And, you know, around here, you know, you have a lot of Price Choppers, you had Grand Unions, and it kind of provided a form of cohesion. Of course, this is not something that one can control in any way, because it's corporate America moving on its own accord, but it kind of separates off Greene County from the rest of the region to a certain extent.
And as you can see, our Price Chopper, the Price Chopper thing continues
in
Chatham, in my beautiful downtown Chatham.
Yeah, there was also a thing up on Albany Business Review today that it's just kind of, there's been a salmonella break that's been tied back to Hannaford's.
Yes, yeah, I heard that this morning.
Yeah, and that'll unfold in some sort of fashion. Speaking of markets and the like, the Catskill Farmers Market finally died in a very quiet, ignoble death on Saturday. It was a call went out at 8:30 in the morning. We got the call at home because my wife, working with the Greene County Council for the Arts was supposed to be doing a program there at 10 in the morning. There was a call at 8:30 saying that it's been called off. That's it. And it's a shame, but the whole idea of the farmers market became a raging controversy in Catskill. You know, it had been down at Dutchman's, or not Dutchman's Landing, at Catskill Point in the Shipmaster, I think it's called the Shipmaster's Building. And then it moved up for, I think it was just one season, onto Main Street, where it was quite successful and seemed like it was going to take hold. But a number of local businesses complained. They moved it to a side parking lot, and then they just this past year moved it down into another parking lot where it was actually located between cars in the parking lot. And, you know, that's it. It just survive.
That is such a shame.
Well, it may be that the season, that the years of, you know, there are a few successful. Hudson's pretty successful. Coxsackie has one. I know for years, and I'm not sure if it's still running, but New Baltimore had one that was running at the Thruway stop up there. But you know, I look down into... you know, the one in Saugerties, which I visited on the weekend, is pretty good. But, it, you know, it's at capacity. It's not big. It has its crowd.
Chatham has a small one. At I believe it's on Thursday nights.
Yeah, Kingston has a really large one. But then a lot of smaller. And then there's a really big one out in Margaretville area that's been running for years. But a lot of the smaller ones, when they get started as a form of economic development, they haven't been lasting, and part of it may be that just the prices are slightly different. It never really attracts the sort of local crowd that one's expecting, and it just may be that we're in as the economy continues to percolate at this lower level, people just have a lot of resentments and stuff that somehow get brought out by...
Yeah, I know. It's I have no problem with ShopRite and my Price Choppers and my Hannafords, but these are our local farmers. I would love to see the farmers markets succeed in all of the towns.
Yeah, it takes getting people out in a different sort of way, and people are tending to retreat back home, and you know the most they'll do in terms of public activity is go to the supermarket, and even then a lot of times they try to do it at hours where they won't run into people. a big event over the past weekend. This is something I had sent notes around to everybody, and we all agreed this was something we definitely wanted to get to. And then it was Saturday, and it was such a beautiful weekend, and one thing led to another, and I missed it. But it was supposedly a big bash over in Churchtown, of all places. It was the first annual Women's Concealed Carry Holster Fashion Show.
Whoa!
I know, and that just sounds, I mean, of all the weekends to have, to have this thing, it was an odd one, but it was supposedly just a big celebration of the Second Amendment and showcase for women who carry guns, and I guess it was a big success, but... hopefully, if anybody out there from the GXC world got over there and recorded something, I'd love to hear it. You know, that is just a fascinating thing to have happen in our midst these days. Maybe the fact that people are willing to talk about it on that side of the level means that some people will finally approach the subject of the Second Amendment from the more progressive liberal perspective as well. It's a... yeah, I had a thing last week where one of my writers at the paper I edit had to take off this weekend to go to a funeral in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for his brother-in-law, who was a victim of a stray bullet. He was shopping at a Best Buy down in Tulsa, and there was a shooting in the parking lot, and he got one. And that was
a bullet is not a guided missile.
And, you know, then it all ended up kind of hitting, you know, the Fox and talk radio sphere, where people saying, well, it could have been prevented if more people were carrying concealed weapons. Well, as my friend said, you know, that would just mean more stray bullets. And the next thing you know, everybody would be wanting to wear, you know, bulletproof armor in public. And it just, it's kind of a... we're at a difficult time with all of this.
Yeah, and I don't know whether the populace is evenly divided or whether one side just has more money than the other. I don't know, but we seem to be stuck.
Yeah, yeah, and it really looks bad to the rest of the world. It really just, I mean, it's an avoidable problem. It's one thing holding on to hunting guns, etc., but this idea of constantly being ready for an armed insurrection is just a little crazy at this point. There's a big fight going on. You know, I saw this out of the Daily Mail. There's a neighborhood dispute, let's say, over music at the Dionysus restaurant in Athens, which has been boarded up for years. I forget what it used to be called, but now it's up and running. It's on the waterfront. It's an active business right, in the center of Athens, which doesn't have a whole lot in terms of business. And a lot of neighbors are complaining because they're playing music on Friday and Saturday nights. And this is all tied into the new ferry bringing people from Hudson over to Athens to kind of spark up the town a little bit. But, the question that gets begged is, at what point does a community shift from being, an active community to a totally a bedroom community? And how do you formalize that shift or recognize it even? Is that reflected simply in village elections and village administrative activities, or is it something greater? I think it may be something greater that Athens needs to kind of get together on a communal basis and figure itself out at this point. I know this also came up with the Riverside Festival, where the split was in an opposite direction, where everybody was complaining on whether to put rides onto the newly replanted and redone Riverside Park grasslands. And they ended up doing it. There was no problem. It ended up, too, because it's so dry that the ground was sort of like a concrete plate.
I'm telling you, I boiled out there. It's a very nice street fair, though, community fair, but it was hot.
Yep. Police got called in for the Monster Jam Monster Truck Show up at the Lebanon Valley Speedway. That's a surprise, huh? It's actually a fun thing up there. It's a side of these two counties that we don't reflect often. I mean, we're not running much live audio out of the speedway.
I discovered that a lot of people don't know it's there.
I know. It's loud. It's really loud. It's really big. And there's a very cool thing right near it. Just down the... And one of the reasons it's there is right down the road, there's this little grotto in New Lebanon on Route 20. And it's where people... In the early years of automobiles, up until about 1925, actually up until about 1940, and this is charted in the WPA Guide to New York, every summer people would bring their cars here to get them blessed so that they could drive well over the coming year. And thousands of cars would come, and out of that whole phenomenon, the car races started. So at Lebanon Valley, you have one of the oldest speedways in the country. You also have in that valley was also the first kind of big spa resort in America. So interesting place to get up to. Speaking of cars, watch your cars, lock your cars. In Hudson, there's been a rash of thefts from parked cars.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
Yep. So there were 8 overnight theft since last Thursday or something. So it's something to watch out for.
Is that in the residential communities and not in the
I think it's in both
shopping malls.
Not the shopping malls. I think it's more right here, Warren Street and that whole sort of area. There's been some school activities around in Germantown, and this was reported a little bit on the newsroom where. The new school board came in. They had a contentious time in Germantown trying to pass a budget that was over the 2% tax cap. It failed. They had to cut a lot of positions. The new board is trying to restore some of those positions at this point to maintain a decent level of education there. It's at this point not proving as contentious as everybody was predicting beforehand. What is contentious and is sort of a surprise was that there was a bus maintenance agreement out in the Caro-Durham Central School District between Caro-Durham and Greenville. And the whole idea was to let Greenville do the bus maintenance for the buses for both school districts as a way of kind of cutting expenses and sharing expenses and services. And it got voted down at a Caro-Durham school board meeting recently when people from the local community, or several district residents, as they call it, expressed discontent at the bus maintenance, turning over the bus maintenance to Greenville because it would pull business away from a local auto service, which had been doing it for nearly 60 years. So the whole thing fell apart. So we've got a long way to go before we start sharing services on a regular basis because everybody's protecting their own, and it's
understandable, I guess.
It is, but when you can't even, when there's no public transportation way to get from one county to another county up here, it's like trying to get from Ulster County to Greene County. You have to go up to Albany first and then come down. There is a bus actually that kind of skirts through off the thruway and can drop you off in Palinville on the way to the mountaintop. To get from Catskill to Hudson by public transportation, heavens forbid. I mean, you'd probably have to go around the other way and take a year to do it. Similarly between Dutchess and Green, there's no there's no real sharing of services at this point. Everybody's kind of becoming more Hudson-centric or Catskill-centric or Saugerty-centric, and that's got to start breaking down in the coming years.
Yeah, we got to get out and explore the other areas. I talk about this often on the show. Cross the bridge if you're in Greene County, and cross the bridge if you're in Columbia County. It's a lot to see.
And if you're in public service of any sort, set up those meetings with other towns. Even if they're three towns away, you're not bordering them, you can learn things from working together and share programs. You never know what you're going to find where you can cut costs or find a new way of doing something. And it's just very important to do that. Kind of speaking of that kind of balkanization stuff, there's this whole thing, and it's really complex. I'm not going to go into it in huge depth, but came up last Tuesday at a meeting in Hudson where a alderman was removed from a meeting on a whole discussion having to do with building a new civic building. And it was just somebody from the third ward, which is always... It's kind of the least affluent or least gentrified of Hudson's wards right now. But the whole the underlying thing there is that the discussion was about, this whole thing where Galvin Associates and its various entities is buying up property and renovating it and kind of changing the face of Hudson. And it's starting to really dig down into all these seething rivalries and emotions are starting to bubble up as that discussion builds, and it ended up with somebody being removed from a meeting where two aldermen, two elected officials were talking to each other, and another elected official said that's enough, that's too much talk in that area. So just keep an eye out as something's happening. Things are getting tense this year, and it may be reflecting the way that the presidential election this year is now starting to focus down to two very distinct viewpoints on how to look at our economy, at our country, and on an altruistic arms open approach, or do we want to go completely business-like, kind of cutthroat? It's a real back and forth at this point, and it's being reflected in a lot of other ways. Big news here in Columbia County for the past week was the Clintons having dinner up in your town, up in the Blue Plate.
And they were at the Blue Plate.
Yep, and according to Sam Pratt's blog, you know, it's looking like Chelsea and her husband, Mark Mezvinsky, are looking at buying a house in Old Chatham. So we might be seeing a lot of them around.
Yeah, they went to what? I can't forget what night. You know our very own Lincoln Mayorga plays at the Blue Plate off and on.
So maybe he tinkled the ivories for them a little bit. Well, that would be a great thing. there's some major things going on this coming week. The governor has created a new initiative to improve the state's economy and environment. It's calling it Cleaner, Greener Communities Program. And the first of three workshops on this whole idea, as it unfolds in the Capital District, is going to take place tonight, July 23rd, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Coxsackie Athens High School. And the whole idea at this meeting is to develop a long-range sustainability plan for the whole area that looks into the idea of, the buzzword is smart growth. The difficulty on something like this is that for all this talk of sustainability and smart growth, which a lot of us nod our heads to and go, even though we don't know exactly what it means, there's a growing movement, which is kind of where the Tea Party is headed right now, and it's not hit the news yet, but they're seeing this all as tying into what they're calling, I think it's UN Order 21, which came out of years ago. But it's the whole idea that, the idea behind smart growth is that you start moving your development away from this kind of American ideal of everybody spread out all over the place.
Right.
And bringing it back into communities and leaving a lot of green space around. Well, they're against that, saying it goes against property rights, it goes against home rule ideas, and it's completely un-American. And they're showing up at meetings and disrupting them. There's a whole thing going on over in the Catskills now where for years there's been this push to turn one of the roadways over there, State Route 28, into a scenic byway. And the scenic byway program, there's no money involved, there's no regulation, et cetera. Basically, on your maps, you get this little dotted line, and it draws a certain amount of tourist activity into that area because they can be assured that it's going to have an unfettered scenic quality. The whole thing's broken down at this point because of this Tea Party movement, as it were. They've been coming to meetings, passing around information, saying it's all a hidden land grab, it's all part of a means to restructure upstate New York to bring in low-income housing into these clusters and break ownership methods. Just watch out for that. Whenever something good like that starts to happen, something's going to fall the other direction. Also happening this week is in Germantown again. The town's going to host a presentation on the pitfalls of hydraulic fracturing. It's going to take place Thursday, July 26th at 7 p.m. at the Kellner Activities Building on Palatine Park Road. And there are a lot of towns doing this. A lot of towns starting to pass laws against fracturing, or the other area people are going in is banning use of hydrofracturing brine, the kind of leftover stuff for use on de-icing. And some towns are going so far as to ban even the transport of materials through the towns out of fear that, if there's an accident or spillage, they're not going to be able to deal with it, or, both on a liability basis and just on an immediate emergency cleanup basis. Other thing happening this evening at 7 p.m. here in Hudson, the board of directors of Acres Co-op Market, which was downstairs for a while, and the whole is this whole idea of a co-op for the city of Hudson. They're having a meeting, their first meeting since a lot of troubles kind of came to the surface in the last few months, and they're going to figure out, hopefully, how to move ahead at this point. So that's at 7 p.m., and it's actually taking place down at the old Washington Hose Firehouse at the entrance to Promenade Hill at the very end of Warren Street. Couple other little things. There's a bill passed up in two bills passed up in Albany. One kind of allowing farms to have their own breweries, and there's an incentive in there as a way of helping the kind of agriculture move in a different direction. Then there was new legislation that came out of Albany that will help craft breweries keep costs down, and it basically pushes against a bill that was passed about a year ago where out-of-state beer distributors kind of filed suit against the state because they had been exempting small breweries from paying a label registration fee. And that's been removed. And so it's being seen by people up at Chatham Brewery and at Crossroads over in Athens and up at Windham Cave Mountain in Windham as a real boon for this kind of craft beer movement, and especially with the farm idea. Maybe we can start, who knows, maybe we'll end up somewhere close to that world that James Howard Kunstler imagines in his recent novels, where all the electricity's falling apart and we're all drinking hard cider and walking from town to town talking about the good old days of the 2000s.
The 2000s.
Right. Lastly, just a little thing, two things to pay attention to that in the larger news sphere from this weekend. There's a thing out today. There's a new Associated Press survey has just come out finding that the poverty rate is going to rise significantly very shortly, that we're at the highest level of poverty that we've seen in this country since 1965.
Oh, boy.
So watch that come into play in the coming weeks and months. And the other big thing is there was a story in The Guardian, the great British paper, about how at this point there's $21 trillion in the offshore economy, the non-taxed economy, that it's larger than the gross domestic product of both Japan and the U.S. And there's a story there, and that's going to have a lot of repercussions. They've been spending the last year or two on this whole
$21 trillion.
Yeah, what it means is that the reason that we're being forced into such austerity and having such problems in many ways is because people just aren't playing ball with everyone, yeah, with the rest of the community. It comes back to that idea of a non-sharing community. Going back into history, today has several points of signal. Our heritage of intolerance and ineptitude, over the years. And back in 1862, during the American Civil War, this was the day that Henry Halleck took command of the Union Army. I think he lasted just a couple months. We forget how badly that war was run. It was just, nobody knew what they were doing. It was a real mess. In this day in 1914, this is just a sad combination of words. Austria-Hungary issued an ultimatum to Serbia demanding that Serbia allow the Austrians to determine who assassinated the Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Okay.
And it didn't matter what the facts were, just as long as they could determine it. And then in this day in 1929, the fascist government in Italy, Mussolini's government, banned the use of all foreign words. In their country. So things are not that bad, but you never know when something like that happens. And in terms of birthdays, I don't know what you've come up with. I came Raymond Chandler was born on this day, the great detective or hard-boiled noir novelist.
Slash from Guns N' Roses is 47 today.
Yeah, his
Woody
real
Harrelson.
What Slash's real name?
You got me. Well, you know what I can
Saul Hudson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson's 51.
Daniel Radcliffe is 23. And then two people in, kind of in the music sphere. John Hall, who was a congressman from just south of here for a short while, and was also the founder of the band Orleans. It's his birthday. That song, all I have to do is mention the name of this song, and it'll be stuck in your head for weeks.
He told me to play it today, too, folks, so I am going to do that.
Yep.
So send your cards and letters to Paul Smart.
Yeah, the other the good song, the other birthday from that area is Tony Joe White, who he wrote Rainy Day in Georgia, but his great one from 1969 was the song Poke Salad Annie.
Poke Salad Annie, which was Elvis launched into a big time hit.
Well, it's going to get warm today, and so find ways of staying cool. It's going to then cool off later in the week, right?
So we're going to brutalize the audience with Poke Salad Annie.
All right.
And still the one from Orleans. And I'm going to do a repeat of what I did this morning, because today was the first day that when you turned on your little black and white television in 19... you know it.
47, 46, 50.
In 1950... that was the premiere of the Gene Autry Show.
Oh.
The Singing Cowboy. And remember, send your cards and letters to Paul Smart. This is not my fault. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.